Yes.
I think that we could.
Warning. The following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
That's it. That's correct. We are back. The Chili Dippers are back for episode 10. We've done our first 9 and we're back in the Chili Dippers studio where it all began. We've got Rolls over from Auckland back in Australia.
I'm back. When he says we're back, we only missed the one Wednesday, but with that we sort of, we had done our first 9 shows collectively and put them out there, and now we're on back to play some more golf and do some more pods.
Yes, so we probably should explain that a little bit. Yeah. We done those, so people know, we done the first 9 pods in a sort of a, without, before we released any of them. So we didn't get a chance to listen to them, get feedback and all that sort of stuff. We done a bit of, played a bit of golf. We recorded them and just edit them, put them on podcasts.
We knew I'd be away for a while, so we wanted to have 9 in the can ready to go so we could release them over a period of time until I got back. So, yeah, they were done without much of a break between sort of thing, yes. Yeah.
So things are going to change up now. We've gotten feedback. We've got a lot more listeners' questions. We're going to come up with some new segments. So the show will change a little bit, not much, because we've been getting some positive feedback, so we don't want to change too much. But one of the things we are going to change a little bit is a lot of the – in the future, a lot of the pods will come from the golf course because we've purchased a little traveling thing called a Zoom, which we can actually record, do our pod from anywhere we want. It's small, we can carry with us.
Not to say we will be abandoning the Chili Dippers studio. I see you've done some bit here to the studio. I love this picture behind me.
Yes.
Now that is, I'm going to try and turn around and still talk into the mic.
Hang on, the Chili Dippers studio is my house, so people know.
That's a massive big picture. So that's the Cape Kidnappers, the big par 5 there?
Yep, that's the 15th. That's so which on an earlier pod I talked about as being my favourite hole ever.
So that's clearly professionally done and cost you a couple of $1,000s. Is that the case there?
No, well, that one actually is a professional photo that I actually bought, blew up and reprinted.
All right. So what about the other one in the hallway then? As I come in the hallway here, there's another magnificent photo, a bit of a different angle, but of the same hole?
Yeah, same hole. Right. Actually, yep.
So you bought 2 of the off the professional guy. Is that
No. What actually happened was, the plan was when I played that hole, I really wanted to get, because I loved it so much, I wanted to get some sort of a
memento.
Print. Yeah, and I wanted to, and the idea was to print it really big and hang it up in the house. Yeah. And I couldn't find one, so when I was there, as I do with every golf course I take 1,000,000 photos. Yeah. And that actual photo, which is a panoramic shot, which I actually took on my iPhone.
The one you took? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. So that's from you. That's not a professionally...
Yep. That I took.
There's no difference between that and the professional one.
Yeah, other than...
You've done a magnificent job on that. That's great.
Yeah, that was... And it was just mucking around. I took the photo just with the panoramic option on the iPhone. Just took it, not thinking I was ever going to frame it or print it. And then at work one day, I just said, I'll just print that out. So it looks like
it's handy when you own your own printing company. that's a bonus.
Yeah. So I printed that as a bit of a muck around.
I thought,
geez, that actually looks too good not to actually print out and frame. I'll get that printed big and see what happens. And
so I don't want to blow smoke up your ass by any means. Mm. That's magnificent.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Feel free to blow.
Now, do you know where that expression comes from?
Blow smoke up your ass?
Yeah.
No.
I do. Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, of course I do.
In the late 1800s, when no one knew CPR, they thought getting one of those blowing smoking machines, things that you use in a fire, they used to hang all along the Thames River in London, and they had a little spot to light the tobacco and light it up, and if someone drowned and you pulled them out of the water, you would insert it in their bottom and blow smoke up their ass, and that was meant to revive them. Because what happened was, so a lady had drowned, they had tried everything, and one idiot said, let's blow smoke up her ass. And she happened to, now she happened to come good at the same time. Now we think it was the shock of getting something inserted into a bottom that woke her up. But they were that stupid in the 1800s that they thought that was the medical correct thing to do for drowning victims.
Always wake someone up.
It'll wake you up. Yeah, so gee, would you didn't take long to get sidetracked.
Anyway, back to the print.
I forgot where we were.
I'm more impressed with just the quality of it. Not blowing smoke in my ass, but just the fact that it come from an iPhone. I didn't actually think an iPhone could get that kind of quality.
It's magnificent. I love it. So no, the studio's looking. It's still too cold.
I'm a little bit cold, so you must be freezing. Next segment, I'll go up and turn the AC off a little bit.
But no. The studio looks magnificent, and I'm happy to be back.
Absolutely. Yeah, we couldn't wait to get into it. Like I said, Rolls has got back from Auckland. What's been happening in Auckland, Rolls? Anything exciting?
Well, Auckland's been okay.
Doing anything?
I went to the zoo the other day.
Did ya?
Yeah, I did. It was good, but it was a bit weird. They were doing renovations. They were changing everything around. They had accidentally filled in the snake pit.
Didn't want to take me to the zoo? That was
not no.
Go, snake pit, go.
That accidentally filled in the snake pit.
Jeez, that's no good.
Yeah, it left them without a pit to hiss in.
Oh no. Oh no.
A pit to hiss in. You know how I've been telling you I've been working on the show? 9 weeks, that gag. That's it. That's all I've got.
Oh, well, that's good. We've just brought our handicap.
You've ruined that. That gag went so much better in rehearsal when I was by myself, and you've slaughtered it. I told you.
Our handicap just went out.
I'm not happy about that. That's one of the best. We're wordsmiths. And that's the best play on words.
That'd be a little bit of a heads up before we start the point.
Say that's no good.
And then I got the mic 2 seconds ago. Covered the mic and said it.
Oh no.
Geez, no. I'm crying already. All right. That's the reason you want to tell the zoo story.
Yeah, that gag. I didn't go to the zoo. If I would go to the zoo, I wanted the pit to hiss in. That's as good as it gets.
All right. I'll tell you a word.
All right.
Oh, God.
Gee whiz. What's next?
A break. All right. Okay. I think what we need to talk about is
the feedback we've been getting.
Yes, that's right.
I will straighten up here. I want to straighten up here. Luke got to, as I said, we did the first 9 shows. I went away. Luke got to do a bit of editing, and he added in a thank you. I want to say my own thank you. It's been amazing. The feedback I thought I'd have 3 or 4 mates who'd listen. Luke could have 6 or 8 listen. We'd get 10 listens a show. And they'll hang shit on us for being idiots. The feedback has been nothing but positive and fantastic.
Absolutely.
And most of it, as I said, I come in here and talk, and as you've seen recently, stuff things up. Luke does all the editing, he's added that little swing thing in. He'd done the closing music, all that sort of stuff, all the equipment. So I actually just want to say, look, I had a tiny little tin pot idea that would have come to nothing. If it was left to me, nothing would have happened. Luke's made it work and got it done. So I actually just want to genuinely say thanks, because you have got it up and running and working. Because I wouldn't have done anything.
No, I appreciate it. Like I said, and the thing is, it's been fun. That's the thing.
I love it.
The first one, we were super nervous. We didn't even know. In saying that, we haven't done one for a while, so
I was a little bit nervous coming back, especially, again, after the positive feedback. If all the feedback had been horrible, we wouldn't have cared. Sort of, because the listeners have been so kind.
Yeah, and this time I was thinking, I can't hit record. I can't remember how to do this. But as Rolls just demonstrated with his quick wit and sharp gags, we were just bloody naturals. There's nothing to worry about.
Oh, I'd rehearse that joke for 9 weeks, and you've given me nothing.
All right.
Let's talk about a golf course. Can we talk about a golf course?
Should we start the pod?
Yes,
right, let's start
please,
the podcast.
Please.
Okay, this is not a course we've just stepped off. This is one we played a little while ago, but we thought it needs to be spoken about because it was a great course. We both loved it.
Really good, yeah, I enjoyed it.
This course is Portsea, the Portsea Golf Course. It's actually ranked number 18 on the 18. Golf Australia magazine's
top 20. If it's top 20 top course, 20? Anywhere in the top 20, I agree with that. And that was tip top.
Yeah, and it felt like a top 20 course.
The drive in, I loved when you can drive in and you can sort of see, you're sort of driving into a bowl. Yeah. But the course is all on the edges
and
of the
huge
bowl around you.
Facilities, like real upper class.
I like when you get into the car parks and it's full of Jags and Mercedes and all
BMWs.
Bentleys, all that you can tell that was good. We've driven in and you're happy already.
Yeah. Look, and we got there fairly early. We got there early, so we sort of had to go into the pro shop and kill a bit of time and have a drink. We got time to walk around and look, like, had a balcony looking out over
a big balcony.
The course went either side of the
Surrounded it basically. Drive into the bowl in the middle, and the course went all around the bowl sort of thing.
Yeah, so you go on one side of the balcony and look over 1-9, then you go to the other side and look over the other. I was off to a really good start before. Well,
it was a good start. In the clubhouse, they had lolly snakes, which I love a lolly snake. And I think I said to Luke, this is the first golf course I've ever seen that's got lolly snakes. So I bought a pack naturally. I'm happy as. Chuck them in the golf cart. Put our bags on the cart. Oh, we were still early, so we go for a putt, went for a have a look around. I come back to the cart and I see Luke sort of hunched over laughing his head off, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? I nearly thought he was crying. So, you all right, mate? I've had a look at him and he's laughing and he sort of could barely move. He half points to the buggy.
Golf cart.
A crow.
Happened again.
It's happened again.
Of my favourite things.
But it's actually opened up the bag of snakes.
Yeah, a bag of snakes.
I can barely open a bag of snakes. Yeah. So I have to get someone to help me.
So I come walking back. To the cart to get my wallet out of the golf bag, and the crow was in the golf cart. So I got my phone out rather than shooing away because it hadn't quite got into the bag.
That's what upset me. Shoo it away. Don't help us out.
So we hadn't quite opened the bag yet, got into the lollies.
No, we hadn't started, no.
And I was getting my phone out to take the photo and film, and some bloke came out of the putting green was just to the right of it. Yeah. He came out to shoo it away. Not to shoo him away. Stop him from shooting. I said, no, leave it. So I just wanted to catch it on camera to get...
Which
it did. And then Rolls comes walking down the road.
So if you listened to 3 or 4 shows ago, a crow took me cookies, me Subway cookies at the Glades, I think it was.
Glades, yeah.
Which you think, fair enough, one in a million things can happen once in your life. And then it's happened again. And again, he said to me, mate, to run away and encourage it rather than stop it.
He was really legitimately not happy.
I was not happy. But then we sat there. The crow actually went into 3 or 4 other carts and looked around. So the crow's obviously a local and knows what's going on and all that sort of stuff. But it's still not right.
I love that. That's right up my alley. I love that stuff.
And that's before we started. So then we get to the first. And again, the first, it needs to be good.
Yeah, first was
the
good.
A good first is good. A bad first. And it was a big uphill. And it looked, because it was up, we were sort of a bit of a dip at the start. And it looks a million miles long.
It did.
We both had pretty good drives up the middle. And all of a sudden we think, oh, that's not a million miles long. Right, we actually can reach it in 2, not 7 like we thought we would. So they were good. So we got off to a good start. Then we had that cool little par 3 next, which was good. And then we had the signature hole.
Yes, the signature hole.
It was a short par 5, but again, elevated tee.
Yeah.
And it looked like a valley sort of thing with trees both side and whatever. And I played the first 2 okay. I think I'd gone par bogey, and then I hit 2 in a row out of bounds left.
Yeah.
I was hoping for my traditional fade. Nutted them dead straight and had a white before we stood off the tee, which was disappointing.
Yep.
Disappointing. But then we went around, we kept playing. It was all pretty good. Luke struggled a bit.
Yeah,
he wasn't having his best day by any means. I was pretty solid. Yeah. I was pretty solid. And then we got to hole 14, which was a short par 4. And sorry. We got to hole 14, which was a normal par 4. And Luke come good. We'd had a look. I think we checked the score, and I was probably 8 or 9 shots up, so it was over. Luke, I think, relaxed and come good. Then you parred that.
Yep.
And then we had the short par 4 next, the 15th. It was only 267. You have smashed a drive 300.
The worst thing about that was, other than the whole first hole, that's why I was playing back, so I couldn't get off the tee. As people know, that's always been my biggest struggle. But I did not hit a good drive all day. We get to this short par, and it was sort of a blind.
It was a blind.
We didn't sort of know how short it was, and I've finally nutted one, like literally middled it. And I thought, there we go. I'm back on the green, over the green, over the back, and down there was like a slope behind the green that went down to like where the
there's a waterworks or a factory or something down there.
Like some sort of shed sort of thing, and the ball gone.
So it was gone. Yeah. It was gone. So yeah, you played 14 real well, smashed it. But then you played 16, 17, 18.
Yeah,
brilliantly. I think you went birdie, par, birdie.
Yep.
Yeah, you birdied the par three, and you birdied the last. Remember the last year, big elevated green, big bunkers at the front, and you hit a beautiful approach into that. But I've actually got the list of the holes here. They've actually got some pretty cool names. So
are they?
Can you remember the names of them? You
can. No, I didn't even know they had names.
No, they all got names. So I'll read. So hole seven, Glory Box.
Glory Box. That's that might be the best name of all I've ever heard.
I might have started with the best. Maybe I should have saved that. Hole 10, Little Devil.
That's good.
Little Devil's clever. That 15, the one you hit, smash it over.
Yeah,
back.
What's that called?
The Cutting.
The Cutting.
The Cutting.
I might have hit it into The Cutting.
Yes, The Cutting. Now, is there a golf course called The Cutting?
Close. The Cut.
The Cut, yes. We might 18, Twice Blind.
18, Twice Blind.
Twice Blind, okay. It was called. Yeah, yep. Even four, Jack's Panorama. Probably named, I'd say that'd be named after an old president of the course, Jack or something. But yeah, no, that's good. Good, yeah. But
I wish I'd have known that when we're going around.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah,
I don't think it was on the info signs.
London Bridge. 17 was London Bridge.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. So no, that's good. I enjoy that. That's good. Another absolutely. Little thing. But yeah, they should have a big sign on the
holes. Don't
know
why I'm just finding that now.
No. 12 months after we played it. No. So it was good. So I reckon that could lead into our new segment, the top four. Or have we finished up that course too quickly? Should we... What did you think overall?
I've said this term before. Big course.
That's what I've got. Like I've got great, big, spectacular course.
Yep. It was. Yeah, and at the Chili Dippers here, we love great tee boxes and elevated tee boxes. And this course had them in spades. There was a lot of that, and that's enough to make me love it. Like, I really, really enjoyed it. Absolutely.
There were plenty of great views. Elevated tee box and great view. It was one of the more courses where. When you're on one hole, you're only on that hole though.
Yeah, absolutely. Which was cool. Absolutely.
And so what did we pay?
$75.
$75 for a top 20. That's pretty good.
That's okay. That's really good, yeah.
Yeah, I could go with that. So definitely a pass mark and you'd go back again, no worries.
More people out there, if you get down to Portsea. And look, another thing, saying that area, you're just spoiled for golf courses. You've got
Sorrento.
If you want to go play a trip, golf trip, that's the place to go.
We got the ferry over in the morning from the other side. Yeah. And even that was pain-free and easy as the ferry.
The ferry's unbelievably easy to get on. And how quick especially with your car. The thing docks and the gate's coming down before it actually touches in. And the second it hits the ground, you're driving in and it's coming back up and you're taking off. And same thing at the other end. Cars are first on, first off.
Because I don't think neither of us are great boat travellers by any means, are we?
No, I'm not either.
But that was pain-free as it could be. So is that the whole thing? Tip top.
Well, I reckon we could nearly wrap Portsea up there. It's got our tick of approval, Chili Dippers tick of approval. We're happy with that.
Yep.
So we're going to end the golf course review there. And like Roel said, we're going to go on to a new segment that we're calling Top Four.
Top
Four.
So just quickly before we get to the top four, we just need to clear a few things up. One of the big criticisms we got was that the show needed to be a little bit longer, which stunned me. As I said, I've always been told I'm best in small doses, so anyone wanting to hear us for a bit longer, I found amazing. But did you get that as well, Luke?
Yeah, absolutely did. And look, from the start, we sort of said that we wanted to keep the show. We're better off being tight and short and tight than sort of long and loose.
It naturally happened that 22 minutes seemed the natural mark.
We did not plan that at all.
And again, we were scared to go an hour and a half because we thought, geez, when no one listens, what a waste. But
we're not going to go an hour and a half by any
means. Oh, not at all, no.
Roel said, people have been saying it needs to go for longer. So we're just going to add a couple more segments in, hence this top four that we're about to do.
Now, also, too, that needs some clearing up. A few shows back, we did a top five.
Yes.
Which again happened well before anything else had happened. Now, a few mates of ours have started their own podcast. I like the Cut of Your Jib. Great name, isn't it?
I love the name.
Name's fantastic. And the boys, Fixer and Roscoe.
Shout out to Fixer and Roscoe.
Absolutely. Do a fantastic job.
They're on iTunes, so get on there and have a listen if you haven't already.
But Roscoe is reasonably famous for his top five.
Yeah.
Not that he owns the top five by any means. Now, we've received a few cease and desist letters from the lawyers and all that sort of stuff. So I thought we'd nip it in the bud before it got to court.
The Jib boys are into us, are they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, the Jib boys did a lot. So I thought we'll nip it in the bud very quickly. We'll go to a top four, as in the play on words, four.
F-O-R-E.
And also lessens our workload by 20%. So that Roscoe can have his top five, we'll have his top four. But as I said, give the boys a listen. So our top four this week was going to be the top four coolest names for golf courses.
Ah, I like it, like it.
All right, so I had Black Bull, which is our helps being our local course, but that's a cool name for course.
Absolutely,
And especially when they've got the big statues of the Black Bulls around the course and all that. That's cool as.
Yep.
All right, so that was my number one. Stonecutters.
Yeah.
It's a cool name, but it also reminds me of the Simpsons episode. The Homer was a member of the Stonecutters and how they went about stuff and all that sort of stuff. So that was cool. Another one, Eagle Ridge. Sounds like it could be a movie title or something or that. And we've played it a bit too, and it's a good course. I like Eagle Ridge. Another one, American course, Crooked Stick.
Now, that's a good name.
So that's my top four. Did you have a top four?
I've quickly put together a top four. I also had Black Bull on there.
They're going to
be on most of my list. One of my favourites is The Cut.
The Cut, that's
the
a cool
cut
name.
Sounds really cool. I haven't played it. Really, it's high on my bucket list, of course.
That's the one in Perth?
Perth, yep.
Yeah, it's a good one,
The Glades is another one, which we have played and done a pot
about.
Glades,
you like that?
Yeah, I like The Glades, yep. And funnily, I like The Coast. So I think if you just put...
Keep it simple?
Put that in front of it, it's getting on my list.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
And look, we can call it that Black Bull. The Black Bull, The Cut, The Glades and The Coast.
Very good. So there's the top four for the cut of the Jib boys, not five. Good luck. Thank you.
That's our first top four done in the books. Now we've got some other segments. We're going to bring back the question time a bit later.
Still my favourite segment.
Is there anything you need to talk about before we go into that?
I do. There's been something that's been eating away at me. We talked about our Kuala Lumpur trip and briefly glazed over Macau, and also in our favourite sandwiches, we glazed over Macau. Now, I want to get my cousin, Jason Lampson, lives in Macau, and he's
a listener. Shout out to Chops.
Listener of the show. Chops is fairly straightforward, and he actually gave some reasonably harsh feedback.
He did.
Not even related to the sandwich. Before that... He said the feedback, he said, the volume's all over the place, especially my voice. Yep. I've been going to a voice coach and we'll fix that up for you. And I've actually got some on-air voice exercises to do later, not right now, which we'll see if my up and down can be improved from me voice. He said we say asking wrong, or I say it's asking. That's how you say it. If you're asking for something, not asking. and also, we've been saying my instead of me. Like, I went and got my clubs. Oh, no, I went and got me clubs instead of my.
I do that.
So there. But also, too, he did end up writing an email about the best sandwich. Yes. Now, how did that go? What happened there? Because it was to you. You look after the email account.
Yeah. Well, we done our... someone wrote in and asked where you get the best sandwich in the world. Rolls went with the... Earl of Sandwich, and then I mentioned a sandwich, which at the time I couldn't believe, the name just popped into my head, I couldn't believe I remembered, the Monte Cristo, couldn't remember where we got it from, and when I said it...
You knew it was a casino in Macau, absolutely, but
I could get you there, I just didn't know the name of the place. Yeah. And when I said it, you were like, yes, that's right, well, I remember that now, and Chops wasn't overly happy about that and wrote...
Well, he wasn't overly happy about me not mentioning it. As soon as he heard best sandwich, he just assumed I'd be all over it.
Yeah. So he's written an email. It's a fairly lengthy email. I'm going to read out a little bit of it. He's written in, Dear Chili Dippers, here I was enjoying the third podcast, The Coast. When at the end, during the question time, the topic of best sandwich was discussed. I sat back knowingly in delight, ready to listen to Mr. Rolston proudly declare while salivating the Crystal Deli, which that's the name.
Crystal Deli, that's it.
At the Grand Lisboa as his number one choice. Thanks, of course, to the local knowledge so willingly provided by his cousin, Mr. Lampson. But imagine my shock/disbelief when he declared some mass-produced American chain as opposed to the culinary gem that is Crystal Deli.
Bit hard, not mass-produced, but I get his point. That's fair enough. Continue, sorry.
He goes on to say, Thankfully, one of the members is smart enough to mention the Monte Cristo and how good it is, and that anytime he comes back, he will shout me one of those sandwiches.
Well, he said he welcomed you back and nearly banned me from going back.
Yeah, so, during the thing, I'd said I'm not sure if it's still available, and he answers it here, saying, yes, to answer Mr. Clark's question, yes, the Monte Cristo is still available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at the Crystal Deli. He is more than welcome to return to Macau, where I'll happily shout him a sandwich of his choice. I might even have to fit in 18 holes, possibly 19.
Fair enough. Well, that's great.
Hang on, he keeps going.
Oh, no.
Ever so disappointed that Macau was mentioned without a shout-out or even a slight pat on the back to the tour guide who enabled such an enjoyable trip for the Chili Dippers. It's a thankful task being the cousin of a podcast
thankless
star.
Task, yeah.
Yes. Oh, sorry, thankless task.
Yes. Yeah. Now, right. Now, on top of that, I had a few requests to tell stories of the Macau trip. Now, I'm going to address 3 points.
Yep.
Point one is, Macau in general, it's called the Las Vegas of the East.
Yep.
It's not. It's completely different, but it's also very same, and it's magnificent, and you should go there. Fair enough?
Absolutely fair enough.
Right. Now, two, this isn't a get even with Chops call by any means. I was actually going to mention this anyway. Chops is the greatest host of all.
Yep.
Now, I have a fair bit of experience in this. I am often hosted. I stay at a lot of people's places, travel around a bit, and get hosted a lot now. And I've been very lucky. Perdo and Ali host me greatly. Shout out to them. Luke, yourself, you host me a lot. Magnificent. Dawn, magnificent host, which has happened to be Chops' mum.
I see a top four list coming in the future.
Well, probably could have. But Chops, and it's a big call to say the best, but he's the best, isn't he?
He is.
He's the best. He hosted us amazingly. Now, the other thing I want to mention is the Waldo Hotel.
Jeez, can we?
The Waldo, I just want to say this. Friendly, courteous staff.
Check.
Upstanding, reputable joint.
Check.
Home to one of the weirdest days in history.
Check.
We will be back.
Check.
That's all I can say about that. Now, I think that's all we can say about Macau.
I was panicking for a little bit there, but yeah, that's fine.
All right. So that's Macau. So look, if you bail us up in person one day, we can give you a few more Macau stories. But at this stage, that's all we're legally allowed to mention.
Yes, that is true.
Chops, thank you. And I'll actually tell you this. I was at the travel agent today, Clarkie, getting them to do some research for Hong Kong tickets for us.
Ooh,
for April, I said.
Ooh.
So that's me and you, Hong Kong, obviously. And Hong Kong is where you get to Macau. You just get the ferry over. So that's actually, I've been doing that. So that's in progress as we speak.
Yep, couldn't tell me when.
So we're lining that trip up. Yeah, so and Chops, if you're listening,
we're coming.
We're coming. Very good.
So we talk about Mission Hills? Is that?
I haven't. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Yes, but it could be.
All right. Okay. So that probably leads. Good little segue there, leading into your favourite segment.
Question time.
Welcome to question time. Favourite segment rolls, which you look forward to every single podcast for this part, don't you?
I do. I've actually bought a letter over from New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
It's from Hudson Trask, and he's 8 years old, and he's a big fan of the show. Would he be our youngest listener?
I'd say so. Yeah, absolutely, he would.
Well, we don't know. They could be pumping the show into kindergartens all across the country, couldn't they?
Yeah, cool.
Hudson is 8 years old, as I said, and he's just getting into golf. So he wants to know, in 10 years' time, what will have been invented to help his game of golf.
What will be or should be?
You invent that, you know, that will happen in the next 5, 6, 7, 10 years? Because he said, because he's 8 now, he wants to know when he's right into it in his late teens, what should he be waiting and looking forward to as a golf invention?
All right. Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
All right. Do you want me to go or have you got one?
Yeah, I've got another thing. You go.
All right. I've got one. Now, you know when they're filming movies, those animated movies, and they have the actor in those motion capture suits.
Yeah.
So you're in a skin tight suit, and it's got all the little white balls all over it.
Yep.
I reckon in the future we'll be able to remove the white balls. It'll just have sort of a lining through. It'll have wires and those microfibers through the suit that you'll wear.
Right.
So then you'll go to the driving range with your coach, and you'll swing, and all your muscle movements will be fed into the skin's like suit you're wearing.
Yeah, okay.
So like there'll be green dots on your elbows, your shoulder, and all that. And when you once you get your swing correct, it'll all light up green. And then when you get bits wrong, it'll light up red, sort of thing. Or even it'll come back to your phone because a little motion cap. So you'll hit it and you go, oh, you know, your shoulders are in the green dots. Oh, my left elbow red dotted. I need to get that somewhere else. And your hips and waist red and green dotted. Can you see that?
Yeah, mate, I think I've already seen it online. Like, I'm pretty sure you can
They've
actually.
Invented that bullshit.
I'm sure you can. No. I've got a little toy upstairs that nearly does that.
No, that's a great. We're in New Zealand, remember? You know we're a little bit behind.
I thought you were going. You were going to say you get in some magical suit that, yes, because I've often thought about this, and not that it could be done. That where it actually swings you in the perfect
Well, that's what I was thinking too. Yeah,
it could rip my shoulder off because I'm not flexible enough to get to where I should be.
Well, that's the other thing too. I was sort of thinking that as well, that it because it'd have little wires in it and it could guide you to the correct position, sort of thing. You'd still have ultimate control, but it would guide you to the special. But the feedback would be instant. The other one I had was sort of similar on the head of your driver. When you swing, then you can look at the bottom of the head of the driver and you can have swing speed, contact angle and all that. So if you know you should be swinging at 100 k's an hour and you have a look, 110, that's probably why I thinned it. Or contact angle, 3 degrees left, that's why I sliced it. So on the bottom of your club, instant feedback on your swing on the driver. Is that doable? Or have they got that already?
I'm pretty sure they got that.
Jesus.
Everyone go to zepgolf.com. You might find exactly that.
I thought I was a genius. I'd worked so hard on them. Oh, shit. They're good ideas.
Look, they might be a little bit more advanced than what's actually out there.
Yeah, they exist, they are. All right, well, what's yours?
Well, I'm going, and look, mine, I don't think it's out there, but if it's not in production or they're trying to perfect it, I'll be amazed. And it's just the golf ball with some sort of GPS in it. Like, you get a golf, and look, okay, let's take it one step further. The ball could be, thing is, the ball would be expensive because obviously technology, but I'd pay $30 for a ball that, if you hit into the water, it's gone. You don't need $30.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
But if you hit into the bushes, get your phone out.
I've been waiting for that. 10 shows in, I've had my phone with me every show and not off because I get very few messages and 60% of them come from Clarkie. So he's not going to send me a message. So there's not so many just, left. So
in case
just
you didn't hear it, Rolls' message just his phone just went off. What? Who's it from? First?
Ian Popel.
What's it say?
I didn't realise that you knew my boss. Oh, I met Terry. Oh, not met Terry Harding and I. Terry Harding, great man. I've known Hards for years and years. I played under 16 cricket with him and all that. And I was talking to Hards today, and I didn't realise Terry was the GM of the Chronicle, which is Ian Popel's boss. I said, "Do you work with Popes?" And Terry very modestly said, "Yes, I do." Where the bloke with this said, "Oh, he's actually Ian's boss. He's the GM of the Chronicle." So that was Ian confirming that Terry mentioned he saw Dave today. That's I actually deliberately was waiting for that to go off during a show. 10 shows in. That's fantastic.
So back to my invention.
Shout out to Ian and Terry.
Absolutely.
Terry doesn't know we do. Terry was going to give us a full page spread in the Chronicle. He was, but he doesn't know anything about the podcast. I said, get Ian, he'll tell you about it. Full page spread coming up in the Chronicle.
Yeah, I bet.
Sorry, I've gone off. Sorry.
Like your phone, going off. So my invention is the GPS golf ball, but... But
oh, no. No.
What's going on? What? Put that thing on silent.
Oh, dear Chili Dippers, it's a live email to the Chili Dippers. We're not a phone-in show. Everything's done on tape. Dear Chili Dippers.
This is not set up.
When do you expect your latest podcast to drop? Give us a minute and we'll do it. We're doing it now.
Is it on silent?
No, it's still on.
Oh dear.
Sorry.
So anyway, but no, I'm gonna take the invention one step further.
Yep.
Because I'm tipping that's gonna come out eventually.
Yeah.
But I
the argument against that will be that golf ball producers love selling millions of golf balls.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Make them $40. Make them.
Yeah, I think they want to sell a million at $7 rather than ten at $30.
Lose
but yeah, okay, but yeah, that was again not that I want to disagree, but that would be the argument against.
You're not allowed to disagree. But what I do want to know is, when you hit a ball And it goes just off the fairway and you think, I don't need a provisional, I'll find that. Yeah. Then you walk up there and you think, I cannot find, like, it should be right here, I can't find it. Then you do your 5 minutes allowed to look, and then you think, nah, it's lost, boy. You declare it lost.
You know what I do then? I use the argument, if I was in a professional tournament, that would have been found because there'd be a crowd
the
there.
The crowd would find it.
So I'd cheat and drop a ball there.
But what I want to know is it's not the losing the ball or the shots hurt and all that sort of stuff. It's just the mystery. I wish there was somewhere where I'm going 30 years into the future, where I can hit a button and a big red beam of light comes out of the ground or a big arrow pointing to it. You're not allowed to touch it. You've got to leave your ball there.
Yep.
I'm happy with that. I just want to know what leaf, what log, if it was 20 minutes too far, too short. I just want to know.
How many times have I said it's the not knowing that kills it? It's the not knowing.
Yep.
Fair enough. Good invention. Look, it's probably already out. very good. Well, since my question's been slaughtered, what's yours?
All right. I've got a question that's come in from an Anthony Layden.
Oh, yeah. Anthony, good man.
Yep. He wants to know how much money... Would we pay to play a round of golf with Jordan Spieth? Or it can be McElroy,
I was going to say, Jordan Spieth isn't my favourite player. Yeah, can I say Phil Mickelson or Bubba Watson? Or so with the best golf, your favourite golfer, how much would you pay to play with him?
So now before you answer, I want you to write it down.
Okay.
Or don't have to write it out because it doesn't. Think of it.
So what about the course, though? Where are we playing to? Because if it's a round at Jubilee with him or if it's a round at Augusta with him. Because then the course is a factor too.
We're saying we're Jubilee.
Oh, Jubilee. So
we're going Jubilee.
All right.
It's $25 around.
All right. So we'll just play. Or Blackball.
Blackball.
It's a home course. Yep. All right. So we're playing a Black, not Augusta.
I'll have to take 25. Yep. All right. So think of the number, and then I'm going to count down 1, 2, 3, shoot, and then I want you to say into the microphone what number.
All right. So I'm playing. Let me decide who I'm playing with. It'd be Norman Mickelson. It'd be Mickelson or Bubba Watson. I reckon Bubba would be great to play with, right? Or Mickelson. It's one of them.
Does. I'm going to tell you who I'm going to play with. You're not going to be happy with it.
Who?
He's not my favourite, but I'm just choosing Tiger Woods. He may be, but I'd like to find that.
I can understand the appeal, even though he's
not my favourite golfer, but that's
not my favourite person by a long. But all right. So you're playing with Tiger. I'm going to play with Phil Mickelson. I'm going to play with Phil. Phil's cool, and he might bring his wife along. She's a lovely lady.
And this is legit. Like, you've got to go to the bank.
Go to the bank, get the money out, play a round with Phil Mickelson. All right. I've got the figure. I've got the figure in me head.
So when I say 1, 2, 3, then say how much you'd pay.
All right, yep. Before I say it, I'm going to guess that I'm overs on what you think I would write down and well under what you wrote down.
Okay.
So I'm going to write down what you would pay too, and you write down what you think I would pay too.
All right.
I've written down your price and my price. All right. So are we doing it on the count of three?
Yep.
On three or then three, then go?
Explain that twice. Go. It's on three and then go.
All right.
Got it. You'll fuck this up for
So 1, 2, 3, then say the price.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got it.
Yep. Okay.
Right, so my price. Sorry. It's been a big day.
Your price. On go.
Yep. I'm ready.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
600.
600 dollars. Yeah, I thought I was going cheap by saying 3,000.
Well, what did you guess for me?
I put 1K, 1,000 for you.
Well, I guess 2 for you. I guess so. I'm
600. I should have actually gone unders.
Well, now on those lines, we've got a Christmas special coming up.
Yes,
where my tightness or lack thereof will be explained properly, because I'm not overly happy with how the corner I've been painted in.
I've got some paint and a corner and I'm going to put you back in.
No. Will you, once I explain come in with an open mind. Let me explain it during the Christmas special.
Let's not go about it.
All right, and we'll go from there.
Little teaser for our Christmas special coming up. So I think that might be the end of question time.
I think that's the end of the show. I've had enough. This is done.
We've gone 38 minutes and some, so it'll end up going 40 minutes. And look, for the next few, we might not care about the time if we feel like going.
If they go longer.
Yep.
Again, give us a feedback. Tell us if it's too long.
Yep. All right. So I think we'll end it there. That's technically the Porty pod. Done.
Yeah, the Porty, that's the Porty pod. And
what?
No, we're done. And do you just finish?
Oh, that's right. So for those who haven't, jump on Instagram, follow us at the Chili Dippers.
If you get questions in quickly, we will be able to address them quickly. We're doing pods
so
now.
So the next
get the questions
3 weeks,
in.
We're doing a lot of pods. So get text them, email us at the chilidippers@gmail.com.
Yep.
I think that's about it.
If you know us personally, don't be scared to send us a text message.
Yeah.
But just not while we're doing the show.
All right, I think that's it. We'll wrap that up right now. Thanks for listening. Once again, Chili Dippers out.
Let's go get some pizza.
Driving down the highway, headed to the range. Gonna knock them out strong, but I feel the pain. Got an old brown bag, big sticky on the back, where the grass don't grow. Gonna take a few hacks. That's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm Jeff Rich, yelling at the TV. You have another cool one, but it won't hurt. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt. I got a two-bit job with a little bit of pay, but I feel no pressure, couple lessons a day. We're working on the swing and talking trash, take another good hit, try to make it.